Parshas Nosse. In this week's parsha, we find the Torah discusses the ignominious death of the Isha Sotah, the unfaithful wife, who is taken to Beis Hamikdash by her husband, accused of adultery, and if indeed it transpires to be the truth, then we know she drinks the Mei Hamo'orim, the bitter waters, and she dies a very despicable death. The Ramban points out a fascinating thing. He says, you will not find Ein V'chol Mishpatei HaTorah. You will never find that Klal Yisrael is instructed to paskel a certain shayla in a miraculous fashion. Normally we leave miracles to the Rabbeinu Shalom. When the law is given over to Klal Yisrael to adjudicate, so we know we have the Arba Misos Bezdin, different forms of death, there is Malkus, there are other punishments that the Bezdin can administer. And here we have a unique phenomenon in which, on the one hand, yes, it is indeed Klal Yisrael who are administering the punishment, but yet at the same time in miraculous fashion. There is nothing natural about what happens over here. As the Ramban describes it, Shehu Pela V'Nes, it's a wonder and a miracle that this woman should drink the water. As we know, we put the Shem Hashem in the water, and she drinks it, and as a result of that dies. There is nothing normal or natural about that. That is totally miraculous. And yet it's Klal Yisrael who are being instructed to carry out this miracle. And the Ramban points out that indeed this is unique and is not found in any other place in the Torah. The Ramban explains that this applies when Klal Yisrael are oisim ratzoinoi shel mokim, when indeed Klal Yisrael are carrying out their duties and they're being makayim of the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it was of paramount importance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there should be ultimate Kedusha in Klal Yisrael. After all, if Klal Yisrael themselves are behaving in a manner of Kedusha, then we have to eradicate anything that is antithetical to Kedusha. And even if it takes miraculous means to prove her guilt, nonetheless, that's what the Torah prescribes. But the Ramban concludes, and he says, however, when Klal Yisrael began to drift off course and began to slip in their spiritual madrega, then the whole parasha of this Isha Sotah becomes non-relevant. As we know, nowadays there is no such thing as carrying out the procedure as prescribed by the Torah. That's what the Ramban writes, and he's obviously referring to the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the ninth parak of Sotah says, Misherobu hamana'ofim, when Znus became rampant, Pasku hamayim hamorim. So the whole bitter water miracle ceased to function, and this whole parasha no longer, as it were, becomes relevant, or at least it's not practiced in our time anymore. So, on a superficial look, at the surface, you would say, listen, nowadays, this miracle isn't practiced. Perhaps that's indicative of a higher spiritual standing that we are on than in the times that the Torah is describing. And in fact, the Ramban is telling you, no, it's the exact opposite. It is precisely because of our low spiritual standing that this miracle no longer exists. This is very reminiscent of what we learned in Parashas Tazria and Metzera, the Parasha of Tzara'as. Now, the Parasha of Tzara'as, although not administered by Beis Din, is also a miracle. A person speaks Lashon Hara, and before he knows it, he's covered in leprosy. Before he knows it, his clothes are covered in leprosy, or his house is covered in leprosy. That's also a miraculous type punishment. And yet nowadays, we don't see this being in existence. So what would we say? Oh, big tzaddikim we are. We obviously don't speak Lashon Hara, or we're not guilty of any of the other averes that Chazal tell us will precipitate Ktara. And yet the Sfarano in Parshas Tazria tells you that actually the exact opposite is true. And this is a very, very, very important yesod. Klal Yisrael, as it were, lives a supernatural existence. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages with them in a supernatural way. You talk Lashon Hara, Mamela, what happens to you? A supernatural punishment. However, when Klal Yisrael don't behave like Klal Yisrael, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu then casts them into the Mareches, into the system that we call Teva. If you are under the auspices of Teva, of nature, then obviously talking Lashon Hara will not result in Tzaraas. So the fact, therefore, that we do not see Tzaraas nowadays is not in any way to be taken as a proof of a higher spiritual standing, but in fact, to the exact contrary, a lower spiritual standing. So rather than living in a constant supernatural manner, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, Kaviyochel says to us, listen, you abandon me, I abandon you. So rather than being under my direct, miraculous Hashkocha, you will be under the Hashkocha of Teva. And what happens when you speak Lashon Hara in the Mareches of Teva? Nothing. Nothing happens to you. That's why nothing happens to us. We mentioned in the past a phenomenal Malbim. A phenomenal Malbim. This Malbim is to be found in Sefer Melachim. And we need to know a bit of historical backdrop to appreciate the beauty of this Malbim. It says there in Melachim Aleph, right at the end of the 16th Perek, Perek Tezayin, there was this Jew called Chiel. And Chiel did a staggering thing. Yehoshua ben Nun, as we know, was leading Klal Yisrael when they captured Yericho. Yericho was literally razed to the ground. And Yehoshua said, anybody who dares build up Yericho will see his children die. And he was very, very specific. He said, when he begins, he will see his oldest child die. And when he finishes putting up the doors of the town of Yericho, his youngest child will die. That is the klala that Yeshua uttered to Klal Yisrael. Comes along Chiel, and for reasons beyond the scope of tonight's discussion, he decides that he wants to build Yericho. And indeed, his oldest dies, and then his second, and his third, he has seven sons. And indeed, when he finished putting up the doors, his seventh son died. Exactly as the Pasuk says, Kidvar Hashem Asher Dibur B'yad Yeshua Ben Nun. Exactly as predicted by Yeshua Ben Nun, no surprise whatsoever. He ran the risk and he failed miserably. Thus ends the 16th Perek of Melachim Aleph. The very next Pasuk, which is the 17th Perek, Pasuk Aleph, it says there that Eliyahu Hanavi meets his great nemesis, his great big rival, the wicked king Ahav, and he tells him, that's it, I make a shvua, I swear to you, that you will not have tal umasar, there'll be no dew or rain. Are there any connection? Is there any connection whatsoever between these two stories? Story number one is that Chiel builds up Yericho and his children die. Story number two, written immediately afterwards, is that Eliyahu promises Ahav, swears to him there'll be no rain falling Klal Yisrael. So Rashi there quotes the Chazal, and he says, yes, there's a missing part to this story. What is the missing part to the story? The missing part to the story is as follows. This Chiel is sitting shiva for his seven sons. Eliyahu HaNavi comes to be Menachem Avil. After all, he's just lost seven sons in the most tragic of circumstances. And guess who he meets there? He meets his arch-rival, Ahav. And Ahav starts taunting Eliyahu HaNavi. And he says, Eliyahu, I don't understand. Who's greater? Yeshua ben Nun, the Talmud, or Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe? And Yanovi says, well, obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe. Says Achav, oh, I was hoping you would say that. Because if that's the case, I have a big question. Yeshua ben Nun, after the Klala, what was his Klala? Whoever builds Yericho will see his children die. And that's exactly what happened. Chiel tried to build Yericho, and his children die. 1 second, but you told me his Rebbe is greater. Do you know something? His Rebbe also uttered a klala. We say it every day in Shema. Moshe Rabbeinu said that when Klal Yisrael don't keep the mitzvahs, what will happen? There won't be rainfall. So how can it be that Yeshua ben Nun klala indeed became fulfilled? And Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, well, we don't toe the line, and indeed, we're not towing the line. In the times of Achav, Klal Yisrael was serving Avodah Zarah right, left, and center. So what happened to the Klala of Moshe Rabbeinu? That's the missing piece in the story that we didn't know. Comes along Eliyahu HaNavi in the very next pasuk and says, that's it. You asked for it now. I hereby take a shvuah, there'll be no rain falling Klal Yisrael, and indeed that's what happened. End of story. So there's three parts to this story. Part one, Chiel builds up Yericho, his sons die. Part two, Eliyahu and Achav meet at the Shiva, and Achav taunts Eliyahu, if Yeshua's klala was fulfilled, why was Moshe Rabbeinu's klala not fulfilled? What happened? Why do we have rainfall? Part three is, Eliyahu Novi says to Achav, fine, you asked for it, you opened your big mouth, that's it, I take a shvuah, there won't be any rain. As comes the story. What is the obvious question that everybody has when you learn this story? The obvious question is, Eliyahu HaNavi hasn't really answered the question at all. Eliyahu HaNavi says, fine, I take a shvuah, from now on there will not be rain. You haven't answered the question. The question was, why did Moshe Rabbeinu's klala not get fulfilled? Fine, so Eliyahu HaNavi gives them a shvuah, from now on you won't have rain. But what happened until then? Klal Yisrael are serving Avodah Zarah, and they did have rain. So the Chayra, Achav, the wicked king, has a very strong kasha. And Eliyahu HaNavi, quite frankly, hasn't really answered that question. Says the Malvin, a phenomenal thing. With this backdrop, now we can appreciate the Malvin. The Malvin says, let's stop a moment and appreciate what is actually happening in Kriya Shema. If you listen to the mitzvahs, what happens? Rain, produce. And if you don't listen to the mitzvahs, then what happens? No rain, no produce. A phenomenal state of existence. A miraculous state of existence where Klal Yisrael's rainfall is completely and utterly and totally dependent on whether they keep mitzvahs. You ask your local weather forecast man, so will there be rain tomorrow? Well, let me look. I'm a meteorologist. I look at my machinery. Look at my equipment. No, the answer is we'll have to see whether Klal Yisrael keep mitzvahs or not. If they do, there'll be rain. If there's not, there's no rain. We, in fact, are controlling the weather. That's what Shema tells us. Says the Malbim, you need to be on a certain spiritual standing to be worthy of controlling the weather. If you're keeping the mitzvahs, you'll have rain. And if you go a little bit off course, you won't have rain. But if you go completely off course, what happens? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, sorry, you don't control the weather anymore. So what happens? You're thrown back to the mareches of Teva. Ah, you're in a different system now. You're no longer in the miraculous system called our mitzvahs dictate the rain. Rather what? Natural causes. Ah, if there's natural state of affairs, well, sometimes there's rain, sometimes not. You can go back to ask your weatherman. Says the Malbin, that was the real answer to Achav HaMelech's question. Yeshua's klala was fulfilled. Fine. So what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu's klala? Says the Malbin, his beautiful words. Ve'eith ya'az bu es Hashem. When Klal Yisrael abandoned Hashem, tasur mehem, then it's removed from them ha'ashkocha, direct supervision by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they will no longer have motor hashkochi. They no longer have miraculous rain. As he concludes, and he uses these wonderful words, he says, do you know, in fact, what Eliyahu Novi was telling Achav? Einchem ru'uyim. Quite frankly, you don't deserve lo'inesh hashkochi, for this super miracle punishment. You have to be a certain darya. You have to be on a certain spiritual standing to be worthy of this punishment. So Eliyahu HaNavi is being asked the question by Achav, what's going on? We're serving Avodah Zarah right, left and centre, and there's still rain. What's the answer? You've answered the question yourself. Precisely because you're serving Avodah Zarah right, left and centre, you're no longer in control of the rain. So what happens? Kadosh Baruch Hu throws you off, that's it. Let you be the subject of Teva, the system of Teva in which Amol is rain, sometimes yeah, sometimes not. And that's what we're learning with regard to the Isha Saita and the Tzaraas. Whenever you have these miraculous states of affairs, when we no longer see the miracles, then we mustn't interpret that as a higher level of Darga of Ruchnias. To the contrary, it's because of a lower level of Ruchnias that HaKadosh Baruch Hu now tells us, you're not worthy of these miracles anymore, whether it be a reward or punishment. But even to get a miraculous punishment, you have to be roll. In the times of Achav HaMelech, Klal Yisrael were not roll. We're not roll to be deserving, as it were, of the punishment of Tzaraas, neither of the punishment of the Isha Saita. You know, it's interesting. The Gemara says that it seems to be a bit of a contradiction in the Psukim. Were the Kruvim in the Mishkan facing each other or facing away from each other? So the Gemara says, when they were Oisin Ritzayin Eishol Mokoim, facing each other. And when they were not, they were facing away from each other. So what is the big question? When the Churban Beis Hamikdash is as they came in and they saw them facing each other. That's called Oisin Ritzayin Eishol Mokoim. I once saw the exact same answer. If you want to be in control of the Kruvim, they face each other, move away, back to each other, move away, then basically you have to be towing the line. If you go a bit off course, they'll move away. At Churban Beis Hamikdash, they were so off track that they were no longer worthy of that miracle. So the Kruvim therefore just remained their natural state, which is to be facing each other. That is the Yisoy that we're learning from the Ramban. And ultimately it's from the Mishnah, as we mentioned, the Mishnah says, Misherobu HaMenoachim, when Znus became rampant in Klal Yisrael, then the miracle of the Isha Saita no longer existed. Not despite Klal Yisrael's Yerida, but actually as a direct result of it. Therefore we cannot be Zeicha anymore to these miracles. Later on in the parasha, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Sukkim that we are very familiar with, especially in our country here in Eretz Yisrael, where we're zeicha to hear Birkas Kohanim every single day. Daber el Aaron ve'al Bonov leimer. Koi sevaruchu es b'nei Yisrael omar Elohem. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. This is the way that you should bench Klal Yisrael omar Elohem. Now, Rashi says in Pasuk Chof Zayin, if you look in Rashi, on the words, the last words of this parasha, it says, Va'ani Avarachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless them. Who's them? Who will he bless? So Rashi says in the second pshat, Va'ani Avarachim Lekem. The first pshat is that if you bless Klal Yisrael, then I indeed will make sure they will be blessed. But Rashi's alternative is, no, I will bless Lekem. In other words, the Kohanim are in fact also the beneficiaries of Birkas Kohanim. When they bench Klal Yisrael, rather than being left out of the picture, they are indeed also the recipients of that bracha. It could well be, some explain, As we know in Parshas Lech Lecha, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avraham Avinu? Va'avarcha mevarchecha. I will bless anybody who blesses you. So if you bless Klal Yisrael, you end up being blessed. Fascinatingly, I saw the Chassam Sofer writes, we know that Birkas Kohanim has to be done the Koyel Rom in a loud voice. Klal Yisrael must hear the bracha. The bracha is. So the Chassam Sofer Goyim. If they hear the bracha, so we have a principle called Shomea Koina. What does it mean, Shomea Koina? If you hear, it's as if you're talking. So when the Kohanim say Birkas Kohanim loud, Klal Yisrael can hear it. If they can hear it, it is as if they are responding with the same words, such that they are benching the Kohanim in return. So therefore, the Kohanim bench Klal Yisrael in a loud voice. Klal Yisrael can hear it. If they can hear it, it's as if they are talking. If it's as if they're talking, it's as if they're benching Klal Yisrael. Either way, it turns out that when the Kohanim bench Klal Yisrael, they themselves, the Kohanim, are also the recipients of this bracha. Now, fascinatingly, I saw last night that Rabbeinu Bachai says on the words Koi Tzvaruchu. What's Koi? What's the gematria of Koi? 25. Chafhei. So Rabbeinu Bachai says a very fascinating comment, which initially looks very bizarre. He says, do you know why Birkas Kohanim begins with the word Koi 25? Because we know how many matnois kahuna are there, how many gifts are there that Klal Yisrael give to the Kohanim?
24.
He says that 24 plus Birkas Kohanim is 25. That's what Rabbeinu Bachai says. So when I saw Rabbeinu Bachai first time, I didn't understand what he meant. The matnois kahuna is what we give the Kohanim. So we give them truma, we give them kijin aben, we give them rishis hagein, we give them bachai. But Birkas Kohanim is what they give us. So why is that called 25? In light of what we said before, it's very good. Because when they bench us, what happens? They are also getting a bracha back in return. So 25 altogether. And I found Azay Shteit Mufurush in the Kliyoka. The Kliyoka doesn't quote Rabbeinu Bachai, but he does say, Mispar Koi, who be zchus estrim va'arba matonis kohuna. So 24 matonis kohuna, plus one more birkas kohanim. Aye! Why is that considered the 25th? He says, because it says, va'avorcha mevarchecha. If you bless, you get blessed. Im kein, al yedei, brocha zu, yekablu gam heima brocha. There will also be, that will be the 25th gift that we are giving the kohanim. Now, listen to the most beautiful Ksav Sefer. If you have, those who have Chumashim in front of them, have a look, again, at Pasuk Chav Gimel. Koi Sevoruch Hu Es B'nei Yisrael, Omer Lohem. How is Omer spelled? Aleph, Mem, Vav, Resh. Now, Omer can actually be spelled also without a Vav. In fact, Parshas Emor, Aleph Mem Reish is without a vav, but here it's got a vav. So Rashi picks up on it. Rashi says, Omer Moli. This word is Moli, it's full. Why? So he says, you have to be Mavarech Klal Yisrael B'Kavona U'Belev Sholim. What does it mean, a Lev Sholim? A full heart. That's why the word Emor, Omer, is also written in full. Omer is full because the Kohanim have to bench Klal Yisrael with a full heart. There's the Ksav Sofer, the most beautiful chant. Imagine you're a Kohen and you're giving Klal Yisrael a bracha. What are you benching them? Hope you're very successful in business and everything should work out for you and all your tavua should everything grow and flourish. 1 second. The Kohen knows that the more successful the Jew is, the more he gets matonis. So, 1 second. I have a vested interest, says the Kohen, to make sure that I bench you, because the more tvua you have, the more truma I get back in return. Says the Ksav Sefer, that's what Rashi is telling me. You have to bench Klal Yisrael, the Lev Sholem. with a full heart for whose benefit? For Klal Yisrael's benefit. Don't have your own vested interest in heart. And he says, that's what it means, Omer Lohem. This bracha has to be directed to them. They are the subjects of this bracha. It might well be true that you will ultimately be the beneficiary as well. That's not why you're giving the bracha. The bracha has to be Baleh Shalem for their purpose. There's the Ksav Sefer in conclusion. Now we go back to the first word. Kais Baruch Hu. What does Kais Baruch Hu mean? So you shall bless. Where were Klal Yisrael at the time when they got this mitzvah? In the Midbar. In the Midbar there was no Tzvur. There was no Trumas and there was no Maitrim. So in the Midbar, no Kohen could possibly ever be accused of benching Klal Yisrael with the hope to get Trumas and Maitrim back in return. Why not? Because there were no Trumas and Maitrim. There is the Ksav Sefer, but that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. Kais Baruch Hu. This is the way you should always bless Klal Yisrael. Just like now in the Midbar. There is no return. You're not going to get Trumas and Maitrim back because they don't exist. Kais Baruch Hu. This is therefore the way that you should always bless them. Even when you enter Eretz Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael will have land, and they will have produce, and they will have Trumas and Maitrim, but Kais Baruch Hu, you should bless them there, just as you bless them here as well. It could be, I don't know, maybe, as a suggestion, we know that how do you start Brachas Kohanim? Somebody has to shout out, Kohanim! It's actually learned from the Apostle. It's learned from a drasha, Ein HaKohanim Rasha'im Lisa Kapeh, they may not do Brachas Kohanim until the Shliach Tzibur initiates it. Maybe. Maybe, just maybe, the remez in that is also the same nakuda. Klal Yisrael has to initiate the Birkas Kohanim. Just to give a reminder to the Kohanim, it's us that you're benching. You're not benching yourselves. It may well be true, you will ultimately be the beneficiary. But we're the ones initiating, we're the ones triggering this bracha. Don't give us the bracha with yourself at heart, hoping that whatever you bench us will come boomeranging back to you. It might well be true, but don't have that in heart. Now, firstly, the Oznaim L'Torah of Zalman Sorotkin says, that's the Nusach of the Bracha. L'Vorich is Amo Yisrael Ba'ahavo. What does Ba'ahavo mean? With love. What's the root of the word Ahavo? Have, to give. The Kohanim are instructed to give a Bracha to Klal Yisrael Ba'ahavo, just for the sake of giving, not for the sake of receiving. Now, in conclusion, if you have a chumash in front of you, you'll appreciate this. I once heard this from my good friend Binyamin Freilich. He told me the name of the Vilna Goyen, the most phenomenal Vilna Goyen. Only the Vilna Goyen would even pick up on something like this. Turn your chumash back to Pashas Toildos, Perek Chof Zayin, Posuk Yudchet. Chof Zayin Yudchet. How the Vilna Goyim picked up on this is just phenomenal. Perek Chof Zayin, Posuk Yudches. The Posuk says, Vayovoy, you have it? Vayovoy El Oviv. Two people brought food to Yitzchak in Pashas Tovim. Firstly, Yaakov, and then Esau. Says the Goyim, if you look in the Psukim, you will notice the most subtle of subtle differences. Perek Chof Zayin, Posuk Yudches. Says the Posuk, Vayovoy El Oviv. He came to his father, and he said, here is the food. So what is the Lashon of the Posuk? Posuk Yudches, Vayovoy El Oviv. Now turn to Posuk Lamed Aleph. A few seconds later, Esav comes along. You have the Chumash in front of you, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayas Gamhu Matamim. Esav also made some delights for his father, and it says, what are the words there? Vayovei Lo'ov. And he brought them to his father. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. So, with regard to Yaakov, it says, Vayovoi El Oviv. And Esav, it says, Vayovei Lo'ov. Now, if you thought that was goyinous enough just to spot that, you haven't had nothing yet, as they say. Says the Vilna Gaon, look very carefully at those words, those two words, Vayovei La'oviv. Do you know what a palindrome is? Like, madam, I'm Adam. Rise to vote, sir. You can read it forwards and backwards. Vayovei La'oviv. So the Vilna Gaon, now start backwards. Look at the end of that word. It reads forwards and backwards. Vav Yud based Aleph, Lamed Aleph based Yud. Vav, it reads in two directions. But with regard to what it says in Yaakov's case, Vayovei El Oviv. Vayovei El Oviv does not read backwards. Have a try. El Oviv, Vav Yud Beis Aleph, you're so far so good, and then you get stuck at the Lamed. So Vayovei El Oviv, Yaakov only reads forwards. And Esav, Vayovei Lo Oviv, reads forwards and backwards. If that isn't got in, I don't know what is. So the Vilna Gaon, what's the chat? Very simple. Yeah. When Yaakov was giving food to his father Yitzchak, what was his kavana? Forwards. Tell my father. What was Esav's kibbutz av all about? Forwards and backwards. Vayovei La'oviv. Whatever I give, it's only in condition that I get back. Vayovei La'oviv. A staggering Vilna Gaon. What we're learning in our parasha is that the Kohenim are being taught not to behave like Esav. Kohen Sevarachu, as the Psalm Sefer says. Just like in the Midbar, there is no Shumas the Maestros, and therefore you have no vested interest. So too, Koy, this is the way you should always bench Klal Yisrael, as Zalman Sorotkin said, Ba'ahava, with love. What does love mean? Have, to give. Vayovoy El Oviv. That when the Kohenim bench Klal Yisrael, of course it's true that they will also be the beneficiaries. They will receive Bracha in return. That's why it's the 25th Matnos Kohuna. But that shouldn't be their kavanah. Rather, they should bench Klal Yisrael, the Ahava. Look, we should be zeicha with Hashem. All the brachas that we are zeicha to receive every day should indeed be mekuyim.